Let's open up our Bibles to the book of John, chapter 3. Picking up from verse 22, let's read together. After these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he remained with them and baptized. Now John was also baptizing in Ainon near Salim, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized, for John had not yet been thrown into prison. Then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear witness that I said I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He has received his testimony, has certified that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him. Let's pray. Lord, we open up your word with open hearts, Lord. We ask that you shine your light of truth, eradicating the darkness, oh God. I pray that, Jesus, you may just refresh our minds and hearts, Lord, with your truth, with this spiritual food that we have to eat. Lord, as we receive instruction, we want to be empowered by your Spirit that we only don't hear these things, but we also apply them. Lord, you who does not give the Spirit with measure, Lord, we ask that you pour down your Spirit upon us abundantly, O God, all the time, all day today, even at this moment, Jesus. Lord, we ask that we may get a fresh and a new revelation of who you are as we study your word. We ask all this in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So moving on from the most popular passage in scriptures that we saw last week, Jesus moves on to Judea. Now this is in the south. He was baptizing, and John the Baptist was also baptizing. Now we know that the baptism of John was to prepare the people for the Messiah, for Jesus Christ. It was symbolic of purification. So now Jesus has a large following. John's following is decreasing, and the few followers that were still around him come to him, and they're reporting to him that Jesus has a larger following. Everybody's going to him, and they had a problem with that. John's church was decreasing, and Jesus' church was increasing, and probably these followers of his were caught in the middle. Do we go with Jesus or do we stay with John? They are bothered. Now, surprisingly, John is not bothered at all. Do you hear his response? He tells them, look here, I told you from the very beginning that I'm not the Christ. I'm just a voice. I'm just a messenger. I'm just an MC introducing you to the Messiah. And you should actually be following him, not me. My ministry is done. I'm winding up, I'm packing up, I'm closing shop. You need to go follow Jesus Christ because he's the Messiah. And he tells them, I received this from God and it's coming to an end. So you had better be following Jesus Christ. You remember I told you I'm not the Messiah? He gives them the illustration of a bridegroom and the friend to the bridegroom. That was typical Jewish custom, almost similar to what we have as a best man in our day. As a best man per se would do in Jewish tradition, present the bride to the groom from the fathers, from the parents. He would be the one to receive the bride from the bride's parents and give the groom the bride, and that was the bridegroom's friend ministry. It was simply that. And in a similar way, this is really the analogy of Jesus Christ as the groom and we, the church, as the bride. So similarly, I simply presented you to the groom. I am not the groom. I'm just his friend. I'm just his messenger. I'm just the best man. So you had better leave me alone. Stop giving the attention to me. Go give all that attention to Jesus Christ. Go follow him. And he says, I am actually happy that my following is decreasing and Jesus' following is increasing. He says, my joy is fulfilled. The joy of having done what he was supposed to do. Present the Messiah to the Jews. And he says in verse 30, Jesus must increase, I must decrease. That must have been surprising for these guys, because this was a chance for John to probably compete with Jesus Christ. You mean he has a large following? Let me also go look out for more people. Right? Have you heard about people conflicting or even boasting about how influential, how big, or how whatever their ministry is compared to another? Oh, my church is the biggest. Oh, my ministry does signs and wonders. Oh, my church, miracles. I'm better than the other guy. There are no miracles there. They just teach. It was also an opportunity of conflict. Jesus, how come you're taking my followers? Right? Don't you know I'm older than you? Don't you know that I'm the one who introduced you to them? And John demonstrates two things by saying, he must increase, I must decrease. He's demonstrating humility and submission. He says, he is above all. He is the one from heaven. I'm just from earth. In Colossians chapter 1:16, Paul writes about the prominence of Jesus Christ above all things. Colossians 1:16, for by him all things were created, and that are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And John says here, he is above all, and the Father has given him all things. He's the one from heaven. He testifies about things from heaven. I only testified that he is the one. Now it's done. He must be prominent. I must be less. John had the privilege to still try to win back the attention to himself, but does not take it. He allows Jesus to have his place as Lord, as Savior, knowing who he was. He was God. And knowing himself, I'm the messenger, I'm just the MC, I'm just his friend. And that's where he remained. It is submission and humility in the life of John. And we would ultimately see the same in the life of Jesus Christ as he would submit to the Father who sent him. What is to be humble and to be submissive in this very context? To be humble is to know God. To know yourself in the light of God. And to be who you are. John knew God. He's above all. He knew himself. I'm just a privileged messenger. And that's where I stop. That's who I am. How about to submit in this very context? Submission is allowing someone else to lead you, willingly coming under somebody else's leadership, whether it is an equal or a superior position. And John says, literally, he is the leader, I am the follower. I know God is above all. I know myself and I know my ministry. I'm not going to try to be more than I am or less than I am. I'm just going to be myself. If my ministry is declining, that's fine. I am done. It's over. So few people are humble and submissive like John. John could have decided to extend his tenure, right? If he had an age limit, he should have said, well, disciples, can you remove that age limit thing in the constitution? Could have extended this tenure, right? It only limits me to being the MC of Jesus. Can you extend that to another 5 years? I still want to be valid. Well, I still have more to do. I have more people to inform. But he knew his tenure was over. It takes humility, by the way, and submission to do that. To know that my time is up. I have to go off stage. And let Jesus rule. Now these two things, submission and humility, go along each other. They're brothers, they're related, as it were. But God created them from the very beginning. You know who created submission and humility? God himself. Right? So God makes Adam and Eve. But before Eve, he made Adam. So the woman was supposed to follow the leading of the man. Now we know that the man failed. Then God gave them children. What were the children supposed to do? To obey their parents. See how the chain goes down? Then from Adam and Eve, so many people were born into this universe. How were the people supposed to live? They were institutions of authority. We eventually had the prophets, the kings, and the priests. Not everybody was a king, not everybody was a priest, not everybody was a prophet. So God instituted all these positions of leadership. And in general, the people were supposed to submit to the authorities that God had put before them. Willingly, by the way, God wasn't going to force them. They had to choose whether to be obedient to the leaders or disobey the leaders. Now, the people who would have a problem with the leaders that God put in place actually had a problem with God himself. Then down the line, you know what happened? Jesus, as God himself, decides to be submissive to the Father and comes down to be born like a baby to subject himself to everything that we go through as people. To get hungry, to be sleepy, to be tired, and be limited to one place at one time. God, who was all over the place at all times. And the greatest picture of humility and submission is in God himself. Before we see it in John, it's Jesus himself who is right there demonstrating that he's willing to come under the Father and to go to the cross. Now in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 4, the Proverb says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. I pull out that verse because in Matthew chapter 11, verse 11, Jesus himself gives credit and compliments John. You know what he says? Assuredly I say to you, Matthew 11, 11, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom is, kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Nobody will ever get such a compliment. None of us will receive such a compliment. John exhibits what we should exhibit in our life today. Allow God to lead us. Allow established authorities to lead us. Allow either equal in position or superiors to lead us. I was told, actually my friend, was getting married in Florida, and the pastor asked him, so it's your wedding, what message do you want me to preach about? And this friend of mine told him, preach on Ephesians, preach from Ephesians chapter 5, how children have to be really family order, how children need to be submissive to their parents, how wives need to submit to their husbands, and how we have to all submit one another in the fear of God. The pastor told him, look here, I have only one problem with that. I can teach about children submitting to the parents. I can teach about people submitting to one another in the fear of God. I cannot preach about wives submitting to their husbands. They will stone me. They will leave the church. And that's the case in many places because there is abuse or negligence, right? The men fail to lead just as God wants them to lead, or at least the women are stubborn. Either way, even when the men are godly. But you see, humility and submission is a reflection of who God is. And when we come against that, when we don't want to be led, we are really fighting God. Because we are fighting the authority that is established in place. When the police says, make one line here, and for you, you're like, oh, who are you? Who are you telling me what to do? You're not really disobeying the police, you're disobeying God. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8, we're told more about the humility that Jesus had. We've seen John's humility. Let's look at the ultimate humility in Jesus Christ himself. Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, submitted himself, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. It doesn't get any better than that. That God himself would allow us to take him to the cross. He had all the power. He said he could have called legions of angels to free himself. But he willingly. So the key thing here is willingness to follow God and to follow whatever authority that God has set in place. We are all equal. All of us are the same, right? But we have different positions everywhere. You go to a company, is everybody the CEO? Everybody may want to be the CEO, but not everyone is the CEO, right? You go to a supermarket, is everybody the teller? Others are working backstage, others are working in the aisles, and others are really stocking for the supermarket. Now imagine everybody in a company wants to be the CEO. Nobody wants to be at the front desk. Nobody wants to do accounts. Nobody wants to be the delivery person. Everybody wants to be the CEO. Chaos, right? You parents, imagine even your three-year-olds want to make decisions in the house, right? That fill up the house with sweets and soda. It's actually very hard to be submissive and humble because all of us are born with this disobedient and proud nature in Adam. We don't have to be taught to disobey or to be proud. We do it naturally, don't we? Stubborn, envious, jealous, ambitious, competitive. Let me ask you a few questions. What happens if somebody else is doing better than you in the same environment? What would you be thinking? So-and-so is doing better than me. I need to step up. I need to work harder, right? We're competitive by nature. Now, do you normally do better than them anyway? No, because they're gifted differently. You're gifted differently, they're gifted differently. So even if you try to compete, you can't win them. How do you respond when your influence is actually decreasing and somebody else's influence is growing? You go back to the drawing board and find out how to remain influential, right? That's just our nature. But can you beat the person? They're already far off. So often we forget to walk our own path and we start unhealthily comparing ourselves with ourselves and we lose track of our own race. John knew his. He wasn't going to compare himself with Jesus Christ. He knew he was God. Can he compete with God? No. There's actually only one God and one Messiah before him. And he said, him I will follow. He is the leader. I am going to follow him. Can the ushers go get that? Chase him around or something? However, in our sinful nature, somebody said, we remain under a curse because we inherited the nature of Adam. We are all born with desire to resist authority and to assume that submission is our worst enemy. We think that by willingly allowing somebody else to lead us is our worst enemy. We think that by just being who we are, if we're just a messenger, it doesn't give us any more credentials. Do you ever go to a place and somebody will tell you, oh, I'm just the messenger? Really? They'll be like, well, I am the delivery officer. Kind of changing titles to make it sound nicer. You will not come to a place and say, I'm the cleaner here. How can I help? They'll tell you, well, I work here. And we often look for identity in what we do instead of looking at ourselves in the view of God. And what you do doesn't really matter, does it? It does not. That's where you are. Just be what God has made you to be, or where God has put you to be. We have the nature of trying to be somebody else, somebody more prominent, somebody more powerful, somebody more influential. Now, ironically, by the way, even in our sinful nature, we institute submission and humility. I say that you go to a company, the directors of the company have to set the place in order. Somebody has to be A and the other has to be B and C and D and E, F. Even in our sinful nature, we know that not everybody can be in the same position at the same time. You go to school, you have students and teachers and finally the headmaster. You go to the security forces, they're privates and lieutenants and generals, right? And submission is legalized. The juniors have to salute the seniors, right? That's what you signed for. You have to salute your senior. And we have Jesus himself And John here, really coming down to get this world upside right. He's teaching his followers that, you know what, you have to learn how to allow others in different positions of leadership to lead you. And wherever you are, be who you are. If you're a messenger, say, hello, I'm the messenger here. How can I help you? I'm the cleaner here. Make sure this place is clean. How can I help you? If you're the CEO, don't try to be more than the CEO and try to lord it on everyone. Just serve in your position as the CEO. Whatever position, whatever description you have. Above all, let's all allow God to lead us. And like I said before, when we don't want to be led, we're really fighting God himself. If children don't want to obey parents, you know that they're disobeying God himself. If wives don't want to listen to the leading of their husband, you know that they are actually disobeying God. If we don't submit to each other, just imagine when you walked in, you want to sit on the stage. I have the freedom to sit on the stage. It's my right. The ushers will politely come and say, well, they don't sit on the stage. It's for the choir and for the preacher. And well, I also want to sing in the choir. Well, you have to go talk to Kenny and he will take you through the process. Well, I don't want to listen to anyone. That's a problem with God himself, right? Because God has instituted all these things in place. Even submission to ourselves in a community like this, you have to queue up to get tea downstairs. Just imagine everybody just wants to get the tea at the same time. Chaos. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, submit one another in the fear of God, out of respect for God. You may be older. John the Baptist was older than Jesus, right? His ministry happened before Jesus, right? He had a large following. At one point, Jesus had nobody following him, and he had all the reasons to stick to that. But he submitted. He willingly fell under Jesus Christ in respect of God. He was ultimately coming under God himself. And tell you what, submission is not our worst enemy. And coming under somebody else's leadership does not make you any less or any lesser. You may have an opinion, yes, but it's not your position, right? You may be better than the person, but sorry, it's not your position. We are all equal in the sight of God, but God places us differently, and we have to. We must come under established leadership and authority, and above all, come under God himself. This world still is in chaos because of disrespect to established authority. Sometimes abuse of authority. Writing to Galatians in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The last part of that verse, we have reason to come under God. He loved us so much, he gave himself for us. How do you respond to a person who does everything for you? You'd naturally be willing to obey them, to follow them. Now, before he even says that, he says, I have been crucified with Christ. When Jesus was on the cross, I was there with him. My sins were being crucified there. My old disobedient, proud nature was being crucified there. And in Christ, him living in me means I now have the nature of Christ in me. And that nature, we've seen it, humility, submission. And we're going to see in many places in the book of John that Jesus states that I am here to do the will of the one who sent me. Imagine you're a delivery officer, right? Do you take credit for that? I'm the most important person here. I make the deliveries. Do you do that? You simply do the will of the person who did what? Who sent you. You take this there and you take it. And you don't stand in between and say, well, I'm the delivery officer, man. I'm so important. That old, proud, and stubborn nature has to die with Jesus every day. And the moment we learn to come under somebody else, established authority, we will be Christ-like and John-like. Where if children obey their parents, wives respect their husbands, we all respect each other, wherever God has placed us, we all come under God. Is there any problem? No problem whatsoever. We'll be living in perfection right in this earth. But our pride always comes out and we need to suppress it each time. And we need to remember that Christ-likeness is humility. It is willingness to be led. I had a story of over 1,500 students applying for a scholarship. I think it was to Cambridge or Oxford. One of the questions on the scholarship application was for you to state whether you're a leader or follower. So are you a leader or a follower? And then you tick one. 1,449 applicants ticked leader. There was only one lady applicant who said, for me, I'm a follower. So the register said, well, the follower is in. These 1,449 leaders need at least one person to follow them. We all cannot be leaders, right? Some of us have to follow. Probably most of us. There are less leaders, there are more followers, and that's God's order. In fact, whether you are in leadership yourself, you still have to be a follower, right? John was at leadership, he was the messenger, he was the MC, but he also had to follow Jesus Christ. So even the leadership positions that God gives us is still subject to him. We are still his subjects. In James 4:7, therefore submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. This is the gross side of not being submissive or humble. Do you know what caused Lucifer to fall? Pride, right? The original sin, pride. And the pride in Lucifer was such that he wanted to be equal with God. I also want to be God. I also want to be a leader. Why am I following all the time? Lucifer knew he was an angel, a created being who was supposed to be at God's service. Angels are ministering spirits, right? And the fall of Satan was because he wanted to be God. It's impossible. It's impossible for children to want to be parents in the same house. It's impossible for wives to want to be husbands in the same house. It's impossible for messengers and CEOs to want to be in the same position at the same time. Like the CEO wants to be the messenger and the messenger wants to be the CEO kind of a thing. And when we resist this proud nature of ours, you know that we are resisting the evil one himself. Because all rebellion stems from evil one. And that should scare you. That should scare us. At the moment, we're trying to act rebelliously. You know what we're doing? We're really signing a deal with the evil one himself. The moment you turn out to be stubborn and disobedient to authority, godly authority, you're really partnering with the evil one. And you know you're the loser at the end of the day. And when we choose to submit to God, we choose to submit to one another in our various positions, we are really submitting to God, and we wouldn't be John-like and Christ-like. John says, for he, in verse 34, for he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. He is the one you need to listen to. He speaks from God. And God does not give the Spirit by measure. God does not measure. He gives abundance. And all of us can have that abundance that transforms us to Christ-likeness. The Father loves the Son and has given him all things. And he rephrases John 3:16, verse 36. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God is in him. Be humble or you'll stumble, said one author. And even in our Christian circles, we think that only certain aspects are Christ-like. We think, well, if somebody is really a good teacher, oh, he's like Jesus, he teaches just like Jesus. If somebody has a large following, oh, he must be Christ-like. When somebody is known to be the person who prays, a very prayerful person, oh, that's like, that's obviously like Jesus Christ. He prayed all the time. And we neglect the reflection of Jesus Christ in our conduct through humility and submission. We were discussing this very topic years ago in Bible college, in a Bible college class. So there's this lady who married a non-Christian. So she was saying, okay, Paul has a problem. Why would I submit to a non-Christian man? Paul is unfair, right? I must be the one leading because I'm the Christian. Well, you know that it's twisted, right? Humility and submission are as Christ-like as any other character. In fact, the fact that you're a Christian and you're dealing with a non-Christian, you should reflect the nature of the humble and submissive God. The fact that you're Christian does not mean you're going to have to, because you're Christian, sit on top of everyone. Okay, I'm a Christian, I'm not going to listen to that non-Christian leader of mine. That Muslim boss of mine, I'm not going to obey him. I'm not going to listen to what he has to say. Well, what happens? You lose your job at the end of the day. So the very fact that we have Jesus Christ is the very reason we should be humble. And even as a Christian, it's not just all teaching and praying and whatever ministry you do. It's not the gifting that makes you Christ-like, by the way. It is the character. You can be the most amazing teacher in the world, but if you're proud, you know that eliminates all the Jesus in there? All of it. You can be the best at your workplace, Christian. And if you're arrogant, people will be like, and he thinks he's a Christian? So what's wrong with him? Well, he's just good in accounts and, oh, the arrogance. You can be the president, right? There's no humility at one point. People get tired. We have to separate what we do from who we are and who God is. And that will help us be humble and submissive. Look at God. All things under him. Look at him in Jesus Christ coming down. And look at you, terrible sinner. Look at God in his glory. Look at who you are. You're serving him. He's placed you somewhere. And don't try to be more than that or try to be less than that. Some people think to be humble and submit is just below, just be a doormat for everyone. Right? That is actually false humility. You're trying to be less than who you are. Just be who you are. If you're the front desk, you're the front desk, right? If you are at the top, you are the top. Right? And don't try to be, the top guy should not try to be at the front desk, and the front desk person should not try to be at the top. Let's just serve God wherever. John, he was just a messenger. He said, well, I'm happy to be a messenger. If he gave me that job again, I will do it again. My joy is fulfilled. And tell you what, our joy in God is fulfilled when all those three are in the right place. When we know who God is, we know who we are, and we choose to be who we are. You are a child in the house, obey your parents. You are a wife, respect your husband. You are an employee, respect your employer. In a setting like this, we have to respect the ushers and whatever order is in place. And tell you what, that is more Christ-like than the person who is known to be the most prayerful but arrogant. Would rather be like John. You know what? Jesus must increase. I want Jesus to be seen in me more than anything else. If Jesus had been just a man and not God, you know that John would have said the very same words? He's my cousin, he's my relative, but he's my leader. I'm older than him, but he's my leader. There are three musts in this chapter. The only chapter that has three musts. We must be born again, John 3:7. So must the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus was going to the cross. And the third one, we just saw it, John 3:30. He must increase. Our one desire should be that Jesus be seen in us and less of ourselves. When people see you and people see your conduct and people hear what you say and how you live, they should be seeing more Jesus and less you. May God help us. It's tough. But as we see the life of Christ and his ministry, remember John chapter 20, 31, 35 and 36? We're in here to believe in Jesus Christ and through him have life. And that life is full of joy, like John said, when we are humble, we're just who we are, and we are submissive, we come under God himself, but every leadership that God has established. Amen? So we should say, as John said, he must increase, I must decrease. Amen? Let's stand and pray. Thank you, Lord, for the word that you have for us today, Lord, teaching us to see you above all things, glorious God, powerful, almighty God. Lord, to see ourselves, Lord, men, stubborn men, proud men, who need to be redeemed, who need forgiveness. Lord, you'd end up on the cross and die for us and redeem us and forgive us and give us your own nature, a new nature, a humble and submissive nature. And above all, God, we want to come under you. We want to follow you. Lord, we want to serve our purpose wherever you've placed us. If we're messengers, we want to be the most effective messengers. Whatever career you've given us, whatever position, whatever service, ministry or gift you've given us, we want to serve you in that capacity. Because we've received everything from you. Nothing is from ourselves. But we want to be who we are. We want to be your children, your servants, your followers. But we want to be just like you. As children, Lord, we see you in perfection and glory and beauty, in humility and submission. We want to be like you. Lord, it takes the work of your Spirit in our hearts. It takes a revelation of who you are. It takes an understanding of what you came to do, to hang on the cross on our behalf. Lord, our commitment is to pursue you as we study your word. Commitment is to allow you to change us, to transform us, Lord. We cannot change ourselves. Only the presence and the power of your Spirit can. And Lord, we will, for as long as we follow you. In Jesus' name. Amen.